When we first pulled out of the airport at Port-au-Prince, I saw a guy bathing in what looked to be a sewer. And that right off the bat was kind of like, whoa, like this is pretty intense. And I knew I was in for a serious life-changing experience.
Faith. By definition, it's something that is felt with strong conviction without tangible evidence of its existence. Many claim to have it, but how do we attain it? It can't be held. It can't be sold. But it can be passed down. Faith is invaluable to those who feel it. How is it that this belief can unite us regardless of our differences? It's because of conviction, that feeling inside that links so many, from the far corners of the earth to the closest reaches of our neighborhoods. Faith is all around us. Faith springs from a glorious past forward to a promising future. The faith that those who not so quietly defeated rivals and redefined record books would inspire their brethren of today to reach such epic accomplishments. And all along, there are those who cheer. In their minds, they envision. In their hearts, they believe. And because of that, they are simply known as the faithful.
After chapel one evening, some of the players came up to us and they said to me, we want to take a trip after the end of the season. So I said, okay. And in most cases, players say something to you, then you sort of let it go, and they don't, you know, I thought it was the moment. I was thinking, wow, that must have been a great chapel idea. That must have been a great message for them to get that excited. Well, a couple weeks later, those same three guys came back and said, hey, what about the trip? I said, what trip? The trip we asked you about. We want to go. I said, oh, you guys were serious? They said, sure.
Earl Smith has been part of the 49er organization for nearly two decades as a team pastor. His job? Guide the minds and spirits of young men who represent the red and gold. But in the spring of 2015, no guidance was needed as their compasses were set on a decimated country in dire need of help. Leading that navigation was third-year tight end Vance McDonald.
Vance, he kind of was the guy that started it all. He asked me toward the end of the season, hey, you know, we've always talked about doing something to help the community or doing something of great importance, and he was kind of like, hey, what about Haiti?
All my life, I've tried to just always use my platform of football to help others, and we decided we wanted to do something really special this offseason. So we just brought the idea forward that we wanted to try to do a mission trip, kind of just rolled from there, and we had a lot of help from the 49ers organization.
I contacted this organization called Convoy of Hope, and I said to them, hey, we have some guys that want to do a mission trip. Well, the founder of Convoy of Hope has been a 49er fan since he was a baby. Next thing we know, we're talking with the rest of their staff, and we have a Haiti trip established. Why Haiti? We realize that it's the most impoverished country in the Western Hemisphere. Just total blighted. And we started to say, okay, what can we do to make a difference?
So it was decided. A crew of 13 people from the 49ers, including McDonald, Garrett Selleck, and Tank Carradine, as well as former 49er and current Washington tight end Derek Carrier, joined Convoy of Hope. Their mission was simple. Help out a community in need. Lending a helping hand for the 49ers isn't a new concept, as the franchise is active in their community on a regular basis. But they realized, although Haiti is 3,500 miles away from that community, it demanded their attention, love, and sweat.
For a couple days, and we've been to orphanage, we've been to a farm, we've been to schools.
I mean, you come here and we're so spoiled back home, and to come to something that's a lifestyle that's so simple,
I mean, look at it, everyone's smiling, and it's amazing to see it firsthand and come over here and get an experience. And I mean, like I said, I'm just being grabbed every which way. It's just amazing. It's an amazing experience.
Being able to be around the kids and see the excitement on their face and just make them happy and things like that and play with the kids. And, I see what kind of stuff they go through. I see how they live, and I realize that they can use a lot of help, and I'll be more than fortunate to be able to help them.
For us to be able to be here and be around this, it's life-changing for myself and for my teammates and our wives that are here with us. If you just look around, you just see these kids and where they are and just so how happy they are. I mean, I can't even describe it.
When I was watching the players, you think about Vance McDonald and his long flowing hair and this big bulky guy, and then all of a sudden the kid runs and just jumps in his arms and he picks up one, and then another kid says, well, he has another arm, maybe I'll jump in it too, and he has two now. Then a third kid tries to figure out, well, maybe he can get me.
He was like a human jungle gym. And when we were at the orphanage, I remember looking over at him. He probably had four children crawling on him at one time, one on each arm, and then two fighting their way to get up on those arms. But it was pretty funny watching Vance trying to fight off all the kids that wanted to climb on him.
They weren't letting go. You know, everywhere he went, they was holding on to him. And I could tell that I seen that attachment that the kids had up on him. It's like they didn't want to leave him. You can tell how excited he was to be with the kids.
Kind of after all the noise died down, they sat down there playing dominoes, and Tank walked over and acted like he owned the table, and the kids just cleared him out. Like, he lost every single game, but it was so funny because he had so much confidence going in.
Tank had a competition to see how many kids he could curl on each arm.
Just to see him around kids, the smile he had on his face, it was just really cool. Great bonding experience for us as teammates.
Garrick, oh yeah, there was a baby that he was holding. He wouldn't put it down, you know, everywhere he like stepped, he like took the baby with him. You can tell when he put the baby down, the baby like ran to him wherever he went.
Oh, here, hold on. This is Baby Love. This is Baby Love. She's 11 years old. Port-au-Prince. Port-au-Prince. Yeah.
Garrett was running this kicking station, and the kids obviously just didn't care to punt the ball the way you're supposed to punt in the NFL. Kids were just throwing the ball on the ground, and they'd turn it into like a natural soccer game. And Garrett, he just put his hands up. He's like, all right, whatever, and he just started running with it.
Oh, my God. My arms are so tired.
They had probably this 8-foot, 9-foot pole, and Derek was over there just pushing kids up to the top, and I was looking over, he's going, shaking his head. And he wasn't shaking his head because he was disappointed or upset with what he was doing. He was just like, his arms were so beat and so sore because he had picked up the 100th kid in a row to put up on top of the thing.
Despite the impoverished conditions, smiles prevailed. The Haitian children brought out the inner kid in all of the players. While inside, the wives and girlfriends who accompanied the group held an impromptu class with some willing students. Both groups enjoyed laughs and surprises, but the biggest surprise was capped by an unexpected yet completely familiar bit of clothing.
Seeing the boy wearing the 49ers hat was pretty special. It was kind of funny, too, when we approached him and asked him, you know what you're wearing? And he had no idea.
And so he had a chance to just shake our hands and take some pictures with us, so that really made his day.
He had no idea that there was a group of people from the 49ers down there. When he found out and they told him, he was like so excited, like the look on his face, he just like couldn't believe it.
Dunk, Monsieur de Garrett, Monsieur de Vance, Monsieur de Derrick. He like, man, where'd you get these giants from?
You can go down there, touch someone's heart, you know, touch a kid's heart, let them know that they're still important, let you know that there's still hope for the dreams that they want to do and things they want to become.
It just kind of brought the whole thing together, and it's almost that kind of divine presence kind of feel to it, that just we knew that what we were doing there was what we needed to be doing. It was a great moment.
The NFL, and more specifically the 49ers, are known worldwide, and San Francisco's effort in the community reflect just that. The team has sent a delegation to Haiti, hosted Play 60 events in the UK, and continues to sponsor a school in New Orleans. But all along, they have never forgotten about the place they call home.
All NFL teams are involved in the community, and all are involved in different ways. Here at the 49ers, it's a commitment from the very top all the way throughout the organization. They put this as a priority. It's very important to them. As a result, each of the last 4 years, our players have participated at the 100% level in one or more community events. And many of our players are showing up week after week. It's a really tremendous testament to the philanthropic outreach efforts of the 49ers that our guys choose to show up each week.
The 49ers Foundation, every Monday, they're out there in the community doing work. For example, just at a hospital with kids. A couple weeks ago, we went up to a hospital where kids had cancer and they missed their prom. So we joined up and, you know, we got to dance with the kids a little bit, take some photos. It's just little things like that that they do day in and day out that just changes the world around us.
All the different things that we do throughout the year, you know, it's a tribute to the community relations department, the 49ers in general, the owners. I mean, huge praise and tip of the hat to them to be in this position, first off, and to have so much, but at the same time, care enough to give back, because there are plenty of people, just especially here in the Bay Area, that need it. I mean, we do anything and everything that I could imagine, you know, going to hospitals, going to cafeterias to feed homeless. I mean, it's anything, seeing kids, and it's awesome. Awesome being able to give back since we've been given so much.
We do approximately 50 events a year. Many of those are involving large number of players, but most are smaller events where we're really trying to make an impact. We have given, over the history of the 49ers Foundation, over $30 million to support nonprofits in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I think that's something that people don't realize, that every week we have players doing something in the community. And the thing I love about it is, they're not doing it for publicity. They're not doing it so there's a news article out about it. They're not doing it so someone can say, look at those Niner players. They're doing it because there's a compassionate side of them that says, what can I do? What can I offer in terms of who I am to make someone feel better about who they are? And that's really what Going to Haiti was about, but it's also what we do on a regular basis. So many people know a player's name. They know their jersey number, but they never get to know the player. Through experiences like this, they get to know the player.
I'm Alex.
A lot of guys get involved in communities where they grew up, which is rightfully so. But I also think it's important to get involved in the communities where you play. I think people need to see your face. People need to see you supporting their community, because those are the people that cheer for you. Those are the people that make your job possible. So I think it's very important for us as an organization to get out in the community and get involved in the lives and the people in the community, because there's a lot of people that cheer for us or, you know, buy jerseys. A lot of those people will never get a chance to come to a 49ers game or to get that one-on-one interaction with an NFL player. So I think it's very important for us to be tangible in the community.
Anquan Boldin, like his teammates, take being tangible in the community seriously. Whether signing autographs after practice, giving their gloves to a kid after games, or hosting a yearly fundraiser, Boldin and his teammates want the faithful to know they are appreciative of their support.
I started the Anquan Boldin Foundation my second year in the NFL, and it's always something that's been near and dear to me. Anybody that knows my backstory know that I come from a less fortunate area. You know, it's always been a dream of mine to one day make it big and get back to where I grew up and help those that were in the same situation as I. I know that I didn't get to where I am today on my own. I had a lot of help. There was a lot of people that, you know, steered me in the right direction, helped me out financially as well. So, you know, I think it's only right that I do the same thing.
Boldin's contribution have not gone unnoticed. Last year, he was recognized as one of the three finalists for the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award, presented by the league for excellence, both on the field and in the community.
Finding out I was a finalist for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award was exciting. I think I speak for, you know, all other guys that were finalists. We don't do it for the notoriety. We do it because it's something that's truly in our heart and we want to help out and give back.
When we're giving, we're looking at the long-term impact of how we give. It's not just a check. It's not just a handshake, an appearance, an autograph, or a photo op. For us, we're all in, and we're all in a way that we know will make a difference.
'49ers co-chairman Dr. John York has a saying, every Sunday in the fall, we do everything we can to win.
all year long, we do everything we can to support our community. That same spirit is embodied in the men who don the red and gold. Last year, every single 49er player voluntarily participated in community events, donating their time to Bay Area youth in need. But their efforts were not confined to just the Bay Area. And so in late March, members of the 49ers family made the trek some 3,500 miles to Port-au-Prince, Haiti, a community profoundly in need, for a profoundly unforgettable experience.
You know, first traveling to Haiti, nothing really prepares you for the experience until you actually get there, and it was hard to watch. You felt the hurt, you felt the pain. I can't imagine anything like that happening in my life, and trying to put myself in their shoes is just something that is just incredible.
I knew it was going to be a rundown country. I knew there was going to be some serious problems, but to see it firsthand, that's the only way you'll ever get a true understanding of what's going on.
It was just life-lesson experience to let me know how blessed we are, just being able to wake up and have what I have and being able to do the things I do and being able to help people.
Just something simple as just drinking a bottle of water is incredible. Taking a shower, getting three meals a day, I'm very lucky to have that. I know now that I can help with Haiti and around the world.
To see people living like that, it's something that will stick with you. It'll make you want to give your all and just let you know that, hey, I have to go and help people. I have to be blessed. I have to be grateful. I have to take advantage of my opportunities, everything I have. And it just makes you let you know how short life is, and you just have to keep moving forward and be the best you can be.
These guys, as they talked, they said, well, you know, we have so much to be thankful for, and the things that we've taken for granted, we will no longer do that. When you're dealing with a professional athlete, that they get it. They know they've been blessed. They know that they've had these unbelievable opportunities, yet they didn't have the backdrop. Going to Haiti was the backdrop for those opportunities.
The sobering reality of Haiti was evident at every turn for the 49ers and the Convoy of Hope. The difficult living conditions and lack of resources were tangible. However, after spending time in Port-au-Prince, what became evident were the intangibles, the faith and joy of its residents. And although unable to be touched physically, nonetheless, that faith and joy touched the hearts of those who made the trip.
When I first came into contact with them and talked to the kids, just to see how happy they were, really kind of opened my eyes.
Being here spoiled, go over there and they have, you know, one basketball for 75 kids, a pack of crayons. They don't even have paper sometimes to draw on. Yet they just carry themselves with such joy. I mean, it's just contagious.
We would look at it and say, poor them, but they have learned to exist. They've learned to eat one meal a day. They've learned to do things that we say we can't do, and it's become part of who they are.
We went there to think that we were going to be the ones helping them, and in the long run, they probably helped us way more than they would ever understand. They were just an inspiration to me, and I can probably speak for the rest of the team that went.
When I go back home, I'm especially be an advocate in the States for these young guys and ladies. Try to gather as much support I can for their cause and to help them. You know, being here firsthand and seeing how desperate these situations are is going to be something big.
Being able to go back home and remember this experience and just be an advocate to share what I've seen here and just the impact that everyone can have. I mean, we truly can come together and make a difference for people.
It's a beautiful country, beautiful people, and I'm glad I had this chance to live with them for these past couple days.
Members of the faithful As you can see, we love telling a good story. Trust us to share yours by reaching out to 49ers Studios at fns@49ers.com.
The question that I had for everyone was that, what could we do to get everyone involved to want to help? We're not going to be able to feed everyone, but what can we do to help this expand? What are you going to do?
I would encourage anyone to go down there and just give back for a week, you know, 4 days, 3 days, whatever it may be. I mean, just seeing that, it's just powerful.
Really, I challenge my teammates and other players in the NFL to go outside of their comfort zone to do something they wouldn't normally do. In the end, I know you're going to affect other people's lives, but really it's going to change something in you, and I think that's important.